The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:50am with Stuart Beasley, Will Smith and James Millman in the studio. A good Saturday to look forward to as well, with a very good card at Ascot. We've also got Haydock, Newcastle and Lingfield throughout the afternoon, so plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Ben Bramley. How are you, Ben?
Yeah, good shape, Matt. Thank you. Thanks very much for the invitation. Clearly you must be scraping the bottom of the barrel to have an infrequent appearance in the studio, but it's good to look at some racing.
Oh, you've done yourself an injustice there. We just save you for pick and choose for the good days.
Well, there's certainly plenty of good days upcoming, aren't there? We've got AP McCoy, of course, over Christmas with his previews for Kempton. I was just framing some detail around Jim McGrath, who's going to be doing some video previews for us. So six grade ones at Leopardstown, the William Hill sponsored cards at Kempton, and Weatherby, of course, and then you've got Chepstow as well. So there's so much good stuff to go at in the next week. And this isn't a bad little hors d'oeuvre on Saturday, is it, with good racing there at Ascot in particular?
It's not at all. A good card at Ascot. We'll be getting AP McCoy's thoughts on Saturday morning for that as well. And as the song says, Ben, it's the most wonderful time of the year. What a great few days of racing we've got coming up over the festive period.
Most definitely. I'll be working on Boxing Day personally, but it's one day of the year that I enjoy working. I'll be having a punt. I think punters around the country, you're just starved at that little bit of action, aren't you? 23rd, 24th, 25th, you're itching for a bet. The shops and the online devices and your mobiles, they'll be absolutely rocking on Boxing Day itself, with people just anxious to have a punt. And you always get a premium day of sport. The Kempton card is absolutely superb, as ever. You've got your football as well. So it is the best time of year for punting, isn't it? In terms of creating that element of expectation when you're starved of a product for a while. And there's none finer, I'd say.
Yeah, and the William Hill World Darts Championship as well over the Christmas period. That'll fill in a few days while there's no racing.
Of course, not forgetting that. Yeah, we caught the first night on Thursday night, and it was heavily branded. And we had a good night of darts as well, didn't we? So it's a real time of year for the sports connoisseur, isn't it? You know, you can have a few jars, you can enjoy the sport in the company of friends. And yeah, there's none finer.
Yeah, good.
Well, you can't actually, because on Sunday, I think I've drafted you into work now, but that's by the by, isn't it?
Yeah, nobody's getting any presents this year. That was my day for Christmas shopping. Never mind. Ascot. Let's talk about Ascot. A good card coming up on Saturday. We're going to look at four races. Are you feeling generous at this Christmas?
Yeah, period? We thought we'd throw in a Christmas bonus here.
Yeah.
What is it? Yeah, a little bit extra there. Because it's a good card, isn't it? It's always a decent card pre-Christmas here at Ascot. You've got a lovely mix, a really competitive handicap chase. You've got a mightily competitive handicap hurdle to close the card. And then you've got some interesting races in advance of that. One being the novice chase that we're going to look at now. The graduation chase that we're going to look at now.
Yes, it's at 1:15. It's a graduation chase over 2 miles and five furlongs, or the extended 2 miles and five furlongs. It's a Class 2 event and a good field as well in this year's lineup. Irish Saint likely to be up there near the top of the betting. Puffin Billy got his first win over fences last time. Then you've got the likes of Thomas Crapper, who's a bit more seasoned than these other fences. It's an interesting race to begin with here, Ben.
Well, you've certainly nailed down the front three there, Mark. Irish Saint will be a warm order, you would suggest, in this race. It's not very often you get paid out on fifth in a horse race, is it? But I seem to remember going back to one of the best supreme novice hurdles of modern times that William Hills were paying out on fifth in the shape of Puffin Billy. I think you were keen on him that day, weren't you? You've always been a fan of this horse, haven't you?
Yeah, I've a big fan of him. And obviously he had his troubles where he didn't race for a year, almost died, of course, and it's just great to see him back on the race course and winning races again. And I was quite impressed with him last time, to be fair. So yeah, I'm hoping he can pick up where he left off, so to speak.
Well, I'd agree with you entirely there. If you look at his record, this Puffin Billy, he's run three times at Ascot and he's won all three times. He's won a National Hunt flat race there. He's won a Grade 2 hurdle. And last time out in November, he beat Kalala Key by 8 lengths. So this is a horse that saves his very best for this track. And we always say, don't we, Ascot, particularly on the flat, is a specialist track. You know, the turf almost seems to be unique at Ascot compared to some other tracks. So you would say that Puffin Billy has got a chase rating of 149, hasn't he? Irish Saint hasn't got a chase rating at the moment, but you'd imagine that he'd probably be early 150s. Mm. Mid-150s at an absolute push. But you'd say here that Puffin Billy, with his Ascot record, would have a real chance of shooting down Irish Saint. If you cast your mind back to the Henry VII chase at Sandown, Mark, he was really strongly fancied, Irish Saint, wasn't he, to beat his stable companion, Vibrato Valtat. Heavily backed into 4-5 favourite. And you'd probably say he was a bit of a disappointment there in only finishing third. That was the game where the race, rather, where the three had the coming together at the last, wasn't it? So I don't think that the standard that Irish Saint sets is insurpassable by any means. So how we envisage the betting in this race would be Irish Saint odds on, Puffin Billy a clear second favourite. But I think Puffin Billy's got a real chance of pulling it off here and beating Irish Saint. Would you tend to agree with that?
I would, partly out of loyalty, because like you mentioned, I do have a soft spot for Puffin Billy. I would worry that Paul Nicholls has got a very good record in the race, so if he's sending Irish Saint to it, then he obviously fancies his chances with that one. But I expect it to probably be between those two in the end, yeah. And as a value perspective, I'd probably side with Puffin Billy myself.
That's a really good point around Paul Nicholls' record there. Easter Day, who made his reappearance at Newbury early in the week, I think he came third, didn't he? Won in 2013, and prior to that, Cedra Blur and Ariel have both landed this prize, haven't they? So clearly a race that he targets. His horses were in absolutely stupendous form, weren't they, around November time, and no doubt he's just got them ticking along at the moment for another assault on the big prizes round about Boxing Day. So you would take those two as being clear best in this field. The only other one you'd probably put in the mix would be Thomas Crapper that you mentioned. Now, he did run behind Irish Saint over hurdles here in January. He was getting a little bit of weight that day. Let's have a look. Yeah, he was getting £6 from Irish Saint and was beaten out of the park. Started off his chase career in finishing third to Court Minstrel at Cheltenham. Backed that up, finishing second to Vibrato Valtat at Warwick. Second to Three Kingdoms at Leicester. You'd almost say that Thomas Crapper at this stage is a bit of a mark horse, isn't he, to judge other horses by, you might say. There was a bit of a nibble for him for the Arkle Chase, wasn't there, at the start of the season, Thomas Crapper, given he's got a decent record at Cheltenham. But I think he's got quite a bit to find, as the ratings tell us. 138 he's rated. I think the other two, Irish Saint and Puffin Billy, will be a step ahead of him, and you'd expect those two to fight it out. Purely on prices at the moment, I would definitely say that Irish Saint, a little bit short based on the prices that we're looking at. I'd be keen on Puffin Billy to beat him.
Okay, Puffin Billy then in the 115. We move on to the 225 next, which is the long walk hurdle. It's a grade one over 3 miles and one furlong. We've got a previous winner in here in the shape of Rev De Sibler, who's won it twice in the past. It's a race that Big Bucks used to do particularly well in. We've got betting on site as well. Zarkanda, the 5-4 market leader. Medinas is 3-1. Rev De Sibler, 7-2. 7-1 for Orbison and 14s for Delarca. Just starting with Rev De Sibler, because he's got such a good record in the race, Ben. He's been disappointing, but if he does bounce back, the conditions are going to be in his favour. Could you see him lifting it for a third time?
This race is a real conundrum for that exact reason, Mark, because if you look at Rev De Sibler's peak form, you know, he's been rated as high as 167 in the past, which is a lofty rating and would take all the beating in this race. If you look at Zarkanda, he's rated 160. The problem with him is that he hasn't really shown any form of note, certainly since the World Hurdle, beating 18.5 lengths by more of that, which is a creditable effort on good ground. But if you look at his record in this race, as you say, 2012 beating Smad Place by 14 lengths, last year beating Salubrious by 10 lengths. Although you'd have to say, given the way that At Fisher's Cross underperformed in that race, it's probably one of the weakest grade ones that's ever been run. And at that point, he was rated 160, but we've seen his mark plummet on the back of some pretty moderate efforts, Rev De Sibler. But three appearances at the track, those two wins that we've outlined there in this particular race, and also finished third behind the Minac. So run here with credit on every single occasion. And we always say that this is a horse, or if you look at horses that have deteriorated, if they're ever going to come back to the best, it will be with their optimum conditions and their optimum track. And we've got exactly that here in the shape of soft ground and 3 miles, one furlong around Ascot for Rev De Sibler. So he's got a sniff, but it's a real leap of faith bet, isn't it?
It is. Zarkanda is in better form. And if you go strictly on ratings, he should be giving Rev De Sibler £9. He's not his off-level weight. So if he turns in his best performance, he could be quite hard to peg back as well.
He should. He's very similar in so much as he's also been rated 167 at his peak, and he's probably a bit unfortunate to find himself off 160. If you look again, he was trying to give £11 to Annie Power last year at Ascot, you may recall. A beaten five lengths. Annie Power did beat him convincingly, but I don't think there's a horse in training that could give Annie Power £11, you wouldn't think. And again, this has been a good horse for a number of years, hasn't it? You know, Triumph Hurdle winner back in 2011. A really, really solid horse. If you were looking for a horse to run a race, you'd have to say that Zarkander would be that horse that you could rely upon. He won a Grade 1 at Auteuil last time out, beating Gemix by five lengths. So he's proven he's in good heart. You know, he acts around the track, as he proved when chasing home Annie Power last year. So he sets a really solid standard. But given the fact that Rev de Savola does have the scope to be about his equal on his peak form, you wouldn't want to be taking too short a price around Zarkander, would you? He did say 5-4 Zarkander, 3-1 Medinas, and 7-2 Rev de Savola at the time of going to press. And of course, we should talk about Medinas, seeing as that's the horse that separates the two in the market. This is a horse that's got now to his optimum rating of 157 off the back of beating Cole Harden at Newbury last time out. So this is a horse that's improving all the time, whereas you would say that Rev de Savola is regressing at the age of 9. Zarkander, he's a good mark horse anyway. So it's a pays your money, takes your chance race, Mark, in truth. At the prices, I'd probably rather take a punt that Rev de Savola wins at those sort of prices and bounces back to his best. But any one of the front three you could see winning. And Aubuisson, of course, that shook them up at Cheltenham, didn't he? New Year's Day last year, I think it was, in the hands of Lizzie Kelly. Shouldn't be ruled out either. But no, I'm prepared to take on the top of the market here, somewhat reluctantly, given it's a horse that I really like, Zarkander. And let's row in with Rev de Savola, I think.
Okay, Rev de Savola in the long walk hurdle. Onto the 3 o'clock next, and this is the Silver Cup Handicap Chase, which is a listed race over 3 miles. It's got a pretty illustrious list of past winners, Ben. If you go back to the 60s, we saw Arkle win this in 66, and then in the 80s, we were just talking before we started recording about some horses that you took a shining to back then. It's got a good history, hasn't it?
Absolutely. When I was a nipper, Mark, it's kind of the early 80s when I was first starting to watch races, and I was going through the Roll of Honour here, and some of my favourite horses appear on this list. You're looking at Captain John, who was the victor in 1982, of course, was one of Dickinson's famous five when he had the first five home in the Gold Cup. Again, a Dickinson horse won it again in 83. Probably the finest jumper of a fence that I ever saw, the Mighty Mac. If you've ever seen any of his leaps, he was one that used to stand off from outside the wings. What a horse he was. Canny Danny the following year, that was second to Borough Hill Lad, if memory serves me correctly, in a Hennessy. Dorlach, who used to carry the iconic colours of Jim Joel, who always seemed to have a runner in this race, black silks with the red cap, and Ballyhane was his too. And one of the most temperamental horses of all time, probably, Cavi's Clown, who had a penchant for planting himself at the start, but really had an engine. Lovely white face, always used to prick his ears. What a character he was. So if you look back at the 80s Roll of Honour, this has been an absolutely wonderful race in its guise as the SGB Chase. And looking back to the modern day, it's good to see that they've thrown an extra few quid at it, haven't they? And it's a 100k race now, isn't it?
It is, yes. 56,000 to the winner, 100k in the pot altogether. And in recent years, we saw Hublon de Zobo win it last year. He's back in the lineup this year, shouldering a top weight of 11 stone 12. You've got plenty of others in there, and I suppose the Young Master's going to be quite attractive betting proposition because he's got a very good record. He's only a 5-year-old, open to any amount of improvement. It's another good race at Ascot on Saturday.
Yeah, it's an interesting race, isn't it? It's probably not going to give us any kind of Gold Cup clues here, Mark, is it, in truth? If you look at the top of the weights here, Hublon de Zobo is now running off 161. You know, you could say here he put up a career best in finishing second to Many Clouds in the Hennessy off a mark of 157. If he was to win this, that puts him into Gold Cup territory. You know, £5 better horse, you're talking late 160s. Then he deserves to be mixing it with the Gold Cup horses. And he's got a very good record at Ascot as Hublon de Zobo. Second to Rocky Creek here, beat Mary King here, beat Cedra Blur here, third to Restless Harry. This is a horse that's been improving all the time. I backed him in the wrong Hennessy Gold Cup. I backed him in the 2013 version, where he was well beaten behind Triolo Delenn. But it's a good horse, 7-year-old, still improving, career high mark of 161, but given he's in such good form and ran such a great race behind Many Clouds in the Hennessy, I'd be hard pressed to put a fork in him, I think.
I would agree. I mean, to run the race he did off top weight in that kind of ground was remarkable. And if he'd have been a real superstar name, you know, if it was a Denman doing that, we'd be talking about him for the Gold Cup, saying he's, you know, he's, what a performance that is. I feel like because it's Hublon de Zobo, he doesn't maybe get the credit he deserves in the Hennessy there.
I think you're exactly right, Mark. He went off at 50-1, let's not forget. 50-1, top weight in a race of that ilk, giving Many Clouds £6. I know the Hollywell won't have been fit when he ran against Many Clouds at Carlisle, but, you know, it's a good performance in trying to give a good horse £6. And he was right in the mix throughout. If you looked at that last fence when only three could win, effectively, Hublon de Zobo looked like he had a real chance of taking the prize at any price you like. So I agree with you entirely. It's one of those kind of names that doesn't have the sexy profile, does it? He ran in the Gold Cup, of course. He finished ninth behind Lord Windermere last year, beaten 24 lengths. But he does have a preference for soft ground. You know, that was an effort last time out in the Hennessy Gold Cup was on soft ground, whereas last year when he ran in it, it was on good ground. So all his best form is on soft ground, not heavy ground, soft ground, and that's where you see Hublon de Zobo at his best. We've said that he's got a good record around Ascot. We've got soft ground being the order of the day on Saturday. He's a hard one to kick out of the frame, really, isn't he, on that basis?
Yeah, and you might get an each-way price about him because I expect the young master to take quite a bit out of the market. How do you see it yourself? Would you side with Hublon de Zobo? Would you take an each-way shot on him? Would you go with something else?
Yeah, well, the young master is so interesting as a horse, isn't he? Of course, he was disqualified last time, having been ineligible to run in that race. But he finds himself off 1.44, I think he is now. So he's a stone higher than when he was victorious, in inverted commas, in that Wincanton race. Look back at this horse here. Now, on the 13th of December 2013, he was winning on the all-weather at Southall off a mark of 46 on the flat. And his sire, Echo of Light, used to be trained by Godolphin. You might remember, third time out this horse, Echo of Light, it ran on at that kink in the rails, you know, when they come into the straight at Windsor, and it headed straight on. So he's a really quirky horse, was Echo of Light. But he's proven to be a good sire, and he was a good racehorse in his own right. So this young master is an interesting horse. He's won his last three races, but now he's really mixing it in decent company here. That was a good Badger Ales chase last time out. He beat a lot of horses off 130, but now he's in the mix with real, you know, late 140, 150, and early 160 horse. It's a bit of an ask, but Barry Geraghty retains the partnership. He was on at Wincanton last time out. He's probably going to be a bit short for my liking. I think Hublon de Zobo has got the more solid form in the book, so I'd be taking him of those two for sure.
Okay, do you give any, you can give any, others a chance here. Any of the others on the shortlist?
Well, Poliski has always had the ability to win this kind of race, but he's a really quirky horse, isn't he, Poliski?
His last performance just summed him up, where he was out in front. It looked as if he was going to win, and then done in the closing stages. It's just typical Poliski.
He's not short of talent, though, is he?
No.
He's the sort of horse that, if he applies himself on any given day, will pop up in a race of this nature. Hey Big Spender is a horse that is now up to 156. He won his third rehearsal chase, didn't he, last time, and beating Life for it when largely neglected in the betting. 12-1 there. He'd won it in 2013 and 2011 as well, but I'm not sure we'll see him back to his optimum form until he's in the 2015 rehearsal chase. And Sound Investment, he's not a horse that's really been campaigned as one of Paul Nicholls' top dogs, has he, by any means? You know, second to No Buts last time out, does have winning form at Sandown in Binted Dollar Tullow, but now is a horse that finds himself off a career mark of 149. You know, I'd say that Hublon de Zobo has done a lot more to justify his mark of 161 than Sound Investment has to justify 149. It's just so much more solid is that form, in my opinion, for Hublon de Zobo. So I'd take him to defy top weight here and put himself in the Gold Cup picture as an outsider, granted soft ground.
Okay, the final race we're going to look at on Saturday is the 3:30 at Ascot. This is the Ladbroke, which is a Grade 3 handicap hurdle. It's over 2 miles, and the betting is headed by Activial, who's 7-2. Shelford is 11-2. 8-1 for Balgarry. Clondor Warrior, another one at 8-1. 11s for Garde La Victoire. 12-1 for Bayan. Goodwood Mirage is 14s with Hello George, and then 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. We've had a few stories in this race throughout the week. Sign of a victory, no longer running because the ground's gone against him. Activial was the early gamble earlier on in the week. Shelford's seen money later on in the week. A few differing opinions here, Ben. So what do you like?
Hugely different opinions, aren't they? Activial, one that took the eye, but at 7-2 now, Mark, he's pretty skinny, isn't he? Mm. You know, this is a horse that came over from France having won at Strasbourg in a National Hunt flat race. Made his debut when I was at Newbury in 2013 behind Calypto, and then went on to win the Adonis and then finished 16 and a half lengths behind Guitar Pete. Harry Fry's horses are in decent form. He's had Rock on Ruby, of course, who won the feature race last Saturday, so he's looking to repeat that dose in winning the last race this Saturday is Harry Fry, and Highland Retreat's also won as well. But he's got to the point where he's a pretty short price now, hasn't he, Activial? Clearly, he's off a mark of 137. The people that are punting this horse know or think that he's significantly better than that mark, which could prove to be quite lenient. You know, 137, it's not a top horse's mark by any means and gives him plenty of scope to work with. But at this stage and at that kind of price, I think he's pretty short, isn't he?
Yeah. They obviously waited for this race to keep his mark as it is, to protect his mark. They obviously think of, I think it's a race they've had as a target for a long time. I just feel that if you've missed the early week, gamble earlier on in the week, you've kind of missed the boat a little bit.
Yeah, maybe so. But you say that, Mark. I think people tend to expect, even at this time of year, to get decent enough ground, don't they, at Ascot. You know, you expect it to be good to soft, which is kind of what we've got, but it's too soft for Sign of a Victory, who wants genuine good ground.
And this is the last race on the Saturday after 2 days racing. The ground's going to be pretty cut up, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a really good point in terms of Activial. So, yeah, you could level the same thing at Goodwood Mirage, couldn't you? Because he was taken out of the Greatwood hurdle for the ground as well. So you've got a few horses in this race that I'm not sure necessarily want it soft. So which kind of brings me around towards the Greatwood hurdle form itself, which was run on soft ground. And that brings in the top weight Garde la Victoire. It brings in Clondor Warrior. And it brings in Pine Creek as well as three horses that contested that race. And I think they finished, was it first, third and fifth? And so, Shelford, you touched on as well, didn't you?
Yeah.
This is a horse that beat Aubusson last time out at Chepstow. Still got a very progressive profile. It's red hot, isn't it? It's a really interesting race, is this one. I'm struggling with it, in truth. Can you give me a steer? Where would you be going?
Well, I think Shelford's interesting, given that Harry Skelton won the race last year, and I think they've just earmarked him as a similar kind of profile. The money backs that up as well, and I don't think soft ground will be any problem to him. We saw that at Chepstow last time when he won the silver trophy in soft ground there, so I can see why there's been a gamble there. But it is one of those races where you could really state a case for quite a number of these. I mean, Goodwood Mirage is a horse that I know has got ability, and I was kind of looking towards him, but then the ground's gone against him, so it's a tricky one.
It wouldn't be the biggest surprise if Goodwood Mirage got the hook, would it, given he's been there? If there was any more rain, he'd probably come out. This is a horse that AP rode with one arm, effectively, wasn't it?
Yeah.
At Wetherby when he won, he wasn't at peak fitness, and I think it was after that ride that he took a break, wasn't it?
Serves me. On the same day, I think.
Yeah, it was on the same day, wasn't it? There's one horse that will be a big price that does interest me that has probably just underperformed of late, and that's Swing Bowler, the mare of David Pipes. Got off to a flying start in its career, was sweeping up races, had a nap hand to start its career before running behind My Tent or Yours at Newbury. And you'd have to say has probably been a little bit disappointing latterly. But this is a horse that now finds herself off a mark of 143. Got a useful claimer in the shape of Kieran Edgar taking off £5. And if there's a horse that can just jump out of the ground a little bit, this is a horse that they've always held in decent esteem. And I think one day it'll show a little bit more than it's shown already. So at a price, taking on board the Greatwood hurdle form and Garde la Victoire being very solid at the top of the weights, I would be half tempted to take a real punt on Swing Bowler at 25-1 at the time of going to press. It's a bit of a long shot, but it's just a horse that I've always had a little soft spot for, that thought he can maybe land one of these one day, you know?
Okay. Nothing to do with the fact that you like your cricket?
Nothing whatsoever to do with the fact that, like, and I'm far from a swing bowler, unless it's very windy.
Right.
It's nothing to do with cricket at all. Although it is named, of course, this horse because out of that lovely racemare Lady Cricket, so that's where the naming will come from. So by Galileo out of Lady Cricket, this should really be a top notcher, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
Under this code, and hasn't really proved to be that yet. But a mark of 143 gives her a chance to prove that she's a little bit better than she's shown so far. Bring that down to 138 with Kieran Edgar, and I've got the basis of a really speculative bet as big a price you like, you know.
Okay, good stuff. 25-1, yeah, as you mentioned. At the moment, let's just have a quick summary then, Ben, if you'll spin us through your selections for Saturday one more time.
Yes, let's have a little look. So the graduation chase kick-started the action, didn't it? And the Irish Saint and Puffin Billy at the top of the market. I just like Puffin Billy's record at Ascot, perhaps being the decisive factor at the likely prices there. The long walk hurdle is a real conundrum. Zarkander, a very solid favourite, but leap of faith here in taking Rev de Savola to bounce back and land his third race of this ilk. And then the next race is the good handicap chase. And Hublon des Oboes, I hate using the expression, has done nothing wrong, but it's exactly right in the case of this one. And that's really solid form in the Hennessy, in my view. And I reckon he's the solid one here off a mark of 161, so I'll take him. And in the lucky last, we're going to take a real pre-Christmas punt on one of the rags in the race, Swing Bowler, at 25-1. So that rounds out the selections there. And we'll have a little whirl on a lucky 15, I think.
Yeah, would be nice before Christmas if that comes in. Good stuff, Ben. Thank you very much.
Enjoyed
good luck.
Matt. Thanks very much indeed.
There you go, the thoughts of Ben Bromley on Saturday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 11:50 a.m. Nice early start this Saturday. Make sure you set those alarm clocks. Stuart Beasley, Will Smith and James Millman will be your team in the studio with this card from Ascot. There's also a good card at Haydock with a listed novices hurdle there. There's good racing from Newcastle and all-weather racing at Lingfield with a listed race there. So we've got listed flat action as well. Plenty to look forward to this Saturday. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Saturday's racing.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.